This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
From the City of London, this is The Standard Podcast, and I'm Mark Blunden.
I therefore declare that Sadiq Khan has been duly elected as Mayor of London.
It's a third act for Sadiq Khan as London's record-breaking mayor begins a fresh tenure, but to the background of tragedy. Over the weekend, another Londoner's life was lost, this time in Bethnal Green in a stabbing, while two others were hospitalised following knife attacks in Tottenham and Battersea. So as Khan begins his ninth year in charge of the capital, what are his priorities and how can he match delivery with rhetoric? The Labour incumbent, who first won power in 2016, took his third term with about 44% of the vote, or just over a million ballots cast, which was nearly 276,000 more than his Conservative challenger, Susan Hall. She had this to say about her rival.
I hope too that he stops patronising people like me who care. This isn't an episode of The Wire. This is real life on his watch.
Hall now joins the list of Tory also-rans seen off by Khan and the Labour Party election machine. That's Zach Goldsmith in 2016 and Sean Bailey in 2021. Khan gave his declaration of office speech at the Tate Modern, and the Evening Standard City Hall editor Ross Lydell secured Khan's first post-election press interview beforehand. Here's a clip.
One of the things that I'm determined to do is to ensure that, you know, London is a byword for opportunity. You know, one of the things that I've reflected on is my life journey and how actually today's young Londoners may not be able to fulfil their potential. And so it's not really about thinking about the next election, it's about what we can do over the next 4 years.
Ross, what do we know about the mayor's priorities going forward now?
He did issue quite a substantial amount of detail during the election campaign. He produced a sort of 70-odd page manifesto, and it wasn't just all pictures of him. There were quite a few for his fans, but there was also quite a lot of words as well. He sort of boiled this down to 10 key pledges. He now says it's time to crack on and get these delivered. We're talking, for example, about making permanent the free school meals for London primary school children. We're talking about 40,000 affordable homes, 6,000 council homes, boosting efforts to crack down on violent crime.
We've had another tragedy over the weekend and two other very serious incidents. It was a theme during the campaign. Do we know any specifics on the mayor's plans to get a grip on knife crime?
As it stands, it seemed that he is promising to recruit an extra 1,300 police officers. However, he has struggled to actually fill all the places he had available already. You know, the Met was unable to fill about 1,000 staff places. So while there's a will, it's not necessarily the way that he can actually manage to get more bobbies on the beat. That is a challenge. He will also press ahead with ongoing efforts to sort of tackle gang crime, gang violence, following this sort of public health approach which the Evening Standard has been championing for years. He adopted an idea first pioneered in Glasgow, where the sort of early stage intervention with a number of teenagers to try and prevent them being drawn into a life of gangs and crime, and that will continue as well. So he's trying to crack the hardest nuts there, but there's no question this is something that really many people will be watching closely. It seems almost a daily occurrence now that there's either a death or a very serious injury, if not many, as a result of knife crime, normally around 40 knife incidents a day.
And you attended his declaration speech today, Tuesday. How was the atmosphere?
It was pretty buzzy. There was a lot of relief amongst his supporters. I think it's fair to say that they had a very difficult Friday and a very happy Saturday. Obviously, the election was on Thursday, but on Friday we got the turnout figures, which showed that turnout was down on 2021. Now, this set, if you like, the cat amongst the pigeons, because many Labour supporters then worried that with turnout down, could Sadiq's vote be down as well? As it turned out, they didn't need to get nervous. His vote actually went up. Susan's went way down. She did much worse than Sean Bailey managed as a Tory candidate in 2021. Sadiq claimed areas that are normally traditionally Tory, and he rather had much of a landslide, as it would be said, if we were talking about a general election. And the only person who's done better than Sadiq in 2024 was Sadiq Khan in 2016.
So what's your take on what went wrong again for the Conservatives? How much of it was a candidate issue, and how much could be bracketed under other stuff, notwithstanding policies?
Well, I don't think we saw the best of Susan Hall. She may not have been the strongest possible candidate the Tories could have fielded, but I think she was a decent candidate. I think she's a decent person, and perhaps we didn't really hear her true voice. Towards the end of the campaign, her campaign became increasingly staged, managed by Tory central office, or Tory campaign headquarters, if you like. To be fair to Susan, you know, she did put a lot of energy into it, but she was really rowing against the tide. Nationally, the Tories are obviously very unpopular. There was a question in many voters' minds, I'm sure, that do they really want to reward Rishi Sunak in any way, probably when they're paying twice as much in their mortgage as they were a couple of years ago? So I think national unpopularity in relation to the Tories did Susan down in the end, as well as probably the fact that she may not have represented Londoners in general as well as Sadiq Khan is able to.
Let's go to the ads. Coming up, what's now for Susan Hall? Why not hit follow in the meantime and give us a rating?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Aside from the national dismal picture for the Conservatives on the doorstep, what were the London issues that Sadiq Khan and his team really managed to push home for Labour?
Well, the key thing they managed to get across was this message that it was a two-horse race. You know, it became almost like a joke. We would hear this phrase so often. But in the end, the Green vote was squeezed. And Sadiq had asked Green and Lib Dem voters to lend him their vote because he said it's either me or Susan Hall. And you might not want me that much. You might want your own person. But I'll tell you, if Susan Hall gets in, it'll be a lot worse for you, and you wouldn't want essentially to have played a part in helping to elect Susan Hall. So Zoe Garbutt, the Green candidate, she was down about 50,000 votes on how Shan Berry, the Green candidate, did in 2021. You know, at that stage, you know, Shan Berry's a very well-known Green campaigner, so it was a tough ask for Zoe. I think she still did pretty well, but she actually came fourth overall. The Lib Dems climbed into third, but there was only 70 votes between these two parties. So on the doorstep, Sadiq was able to tell people, you know, it's two horses, it's either me or Susan, and more people opted for Sadiq than for Susan. I think the other thing to mention is the ULEZ. We thought that this would be a massive issue, especially in outer London, the ULEZ expansion. This obviously went live last August, but many polling experts say essentially this was the dog that didn't bark or didn't bite. There's no obvious evidence, apart from possibly in Redbridge and Havering, of any sort of ULEZ bump going towards the Tories or even the Reform Party, which was the sort of anti-ULEZ party.
What now for Susan Hall? Could she, do you think, be reprising a run a la Boris Johnson and Stephen Norris? Is that beyond the realms?
I think it probably is. You know, a week or so ago on the podcast, we were talking about polling figures, and there was one which suggested Sadiq was going to poll 47% of the vote. And I then said to your colleague, John, that if that happened, then I would eat my bike helmet. In a similar vein, I'm willing to wager today that if Susan Hall is a Tory candidate in 2028, I'll try again to have another bite out of my bike helmet, which thankfully is unharmed because Sadiq didn't get 47% of the vote. Susan Hall, she has been re-elected to the London Assembly. She also stood in that. It's not the case that if you get defeated as mayor, you get on the London Assembly. You have to stand in those elections as well. But both Susan Hall and Zoe Garbutt have been elected to the London Assembly because Susan is there on merit in terms of topping the Tory mayoral list, or the Tory Assembly list, I should say, rather. Whereas Zoe, we've just found out today, because Shan Berry, who took top spot in the proportional representation part of the sort of London-wide poll for London Assembly members, she's decided after just 3 days to stand down. So that means it goes to the fourth place because the Greens got three assembly members, and therefore Zoe sort of jumps up a spot. It's almost like getting into Europe. If this was the Premier League table, she hasn't won the league, but she has made it into the Europa League.
How much of an issue in the end was changing the mayoral vote system to the first past the post and the new voter ID rules?
Well, we don't yet know exactly what happened with voter ID. We hope there will be some research done that may be published in the coming months, which may show how many, if any, voters were turned away from the polls, because it may be the case that some people were turned away, but then hopefully they just went home, picked up their passport or driving licence and came back, because normally polling stations are only a few hundred yards away from where people live. So we'll find that out in future. But overall, the turnout was down 1.5 points. About 2.5 million Londoners took part, slightly fewer than in 2021. But that wasn't a disastrous turnout by any means. It was the fourth highest or the fourth lowest, depending on how you want to compare it to the previous elections since 2000. In terms of first past the post, well, you can probably say that helped Sadiq. Sadly, though, the one thing that has been pointed out by the Electoral Reform Society is that because people weren't able to vote twice for him or give a second preference rather than a first preference for Sadiq, then actually the number of people voting for him either first or second is down overall. But I don't think we can deny the fact that this is nevertheless a commanding victory, especially as a third term victory for Sadiq.
There's much more on this story in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back on Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.